Ecclesiastes chapter 9, from verse 13 to 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, from verse 13 to 18. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And there are so many things we could talk upon in the passage I've just read to you, one of which is, of course, the dangers of being poor. But that's not what we want to discuss this morning. There's another thing we could discuss here, and that is about one sinner destroying much good, which tells you about the danger of just one single sinner among so many saints. One sinner in your family can destroy the entire family. That's one of the reasons why, like I said earlier on, you must do everything to make sure that every member of your family is truly born again. But again, that's not really what we want to discuss this morning. Then what is it that we want to discuss? We want to discuss wisdom is better than strength. I want you to say that one loud. Say it loud and clear. The Yorubas have a proverb. They say someone who is strong but who lacks wisdom is the laziest of all. Wisdom is a very, very important thing. In fact, when you go through the scriptures again and again, you hear so many things said about wisdom. I will read one or two other things for you. For example, Proverbs chapter 8. Let's read from verse 1 to 4, and then 14 to 16. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. He said, "Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." That's wisdom crying. Now what is he crying? What's he telling us? What's it that he wants us to know? Verse 14 to 16. He said, "Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." What's this one saying? He's saying that the difference between a manager and a messenger is wisdom. That those who rule, those who are in control, the reason they are there is because one way or the other, they are wiser than the rest. I've always said, when you see a man who is a lawyer, prostrating for a farmer, giving him money, asking him to vote him into office, when somebody says, "I want to serve you," and he's paying you so that he can serve you, you should think and say, "Wait a minute, and there is something going funny here." When you see a big man prostrating for a small man, there is something he wants to get from the small man. Only the small man is not smart enough to know it. At the end of the day, the man who is prostrating for you now, once he gets into office, when he wants to pass on the road, the policeman will ask you to stop so that he can pass. The other day he was prostrating for you. Now, you get out of the way so that he can move. Wisdom is far, far better than strength. So Solomon Probably the wisest man who ever lived outside of Jesus Christ said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 to 9. Proverbs 4, from verse 5 to 9. He says, get wisdom. What did he ask you to get? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. What will wisdom do? It will preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Number two, wisdom shall keep thee. Number verse 7, I say, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. He went on to say in verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. I mean, think of all the things that Solomon said wisdom will bring to you. I can go on and on, and I can show you several other passages in the Bible where wisdom is talking. In fact, wisdom said, listen, on my right hand, I have riches and wealth. On my left hand, honor. In other words, he says, if you want to prosper, all you need to get is wisdom. You want to succeed? Wisdom. You want to be promoted? Wisdom. You want to be saved? Wisdom. You want to be established? Wisdom. You want to stay in your husband's house without any quarrel? Wisdom. Wisdom, 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 wisdom. It would be a good idea if you spend some time to go through the scriptures and try and find out everything the Bible has to say about wisdom. You'll be amazed. But then, what is wisdom? What is this wonderful thing called wisdom? Very simple. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Or I put it this way, apply knowledge for your own benefit. That's wisdom. And I give you an illustration. If you are traveling on a road that you have never traveled before, you are driving your car, and suddenly you saw a sign by the roadside that says, narrow bridge ahead. As soon as you see that sign, you have knowledge. You know now that ahead of you, there is a narrow bridge. What you now do after you get that information will determine whether you are wise or foolish. If you see narrow bridge ahead, giving you knowledge, and you step on the brake so that you slow down, what kind of person are you? Wise. But if you see the narrow bridge ahead and you say, who cares? And you increase your speed, what kind of person are you? You are the one who said that one. Glory be to God. If you find a bottle of Coke already opened in the fridge and with a sticker on it, and somebody has written poison, you open the box, the fridge, it is a bottle of Coke, it's liquid inside, but there is a label saying poison. That is knowledge. The sticker is telling you, the label is telling you, this thing used to contain Coke, but we have removed the Coke, we have now put inside poison. That's information. You got it. Now, if you are a wise person, what will you do? You leave it alone. If you are a fool, what will you do? Coke is Coke, so you just grab it and drink. So what you do with information is what will determine whether you are wise or foolish. That's what I want to just bring to your attention this morning. Because the reason why many of us are where we are today is because we had not used information correctly. Particularly information given by God. We all know that it is written, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. So we know that the word of God is the truth. It cannot change. It is settled, not even settled here on earth, but settled in heaven, where nobody can go and alter it overnight, where no human decree can change it. We know that one. But if we know that one, what use have we made of this knowledge? I'm going to give you one or two examples of what I do. Since I began to read the Bible, and I began to discover certain truths in the Word of God. For example, one day I read Psalm 22 verse 3 for the first time. You know, before we were born again, we used to read Psalms. We read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We memorized them when we were very young. And once in a while we read Psalm 35 when we think that somebody is pursuing us. We get a bowl of clean water and open Psalm 35 and begin to read it. God, fight those who are fighting me, kill all my enemies and so. And when we finish, we drink the water. And we think that that one is going to fortify us against all the attack of the enemy. Thank God that the time of ignorance, God has winged that. But then after you became born again and you now begin to read the Bible, suddenly it becomes new. It becomes a living word. And I was reading and I came across Psalm 22 verse 3. Thou art holy, O God, that dwelleth in the praises of your people. Places, in praises of, who inhabits the praises of Israel. And I said, wait a minute. Where does God dwell? Where does he live? He lives where they are praising him. From that day onward, I knew that all I have to do, if I want God to live in my house, is to do what? Ah, good. Now you are beginning to get the point. Anytime I want to invite God into my house, if at any time I feel that something is wrong here, if I don't seem to understand what's going on, if I find that one child goes this way, he breaks a plate, another one is going that way, he nearly spilled hot water on himself, another one is going that way and he's almost burning the house down, and what's going on? Who has crept into my house? How do I get rid of the fellow? I know if I get God in, the enemy will go out. I don't go down and then begin to pray and say, devil, I command you, get out of the house. No, I don't waste my energy doing that. What do I do? I begin to praise God. And I can assure you, within 5 minutes of praising him, he will come. And as soon as he comes, the devil will flee. That's why many of you up to now, you've never had me anytime at the Holy Ghost service or any of our major programs, convention, you've never seen me wanting to start a particular heavy program, and I say, now, devil, I bind you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thought you bound him yesterday. He got loose overnight. No, I don't waste my time. What do? I praise my God. Because I know if I praise him, he will come. And then, as I read on, I came across John chapter 4. Verse 23 and 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For he seeketh such to worship him. I say, is that true? You mean God is looking for those who will worship him? Oh, very good. Then when I'm not at home, and I'm on a journey, and I want God to know where I am, what do I do? Worship him. Because he's looking out for worshippers. So when I'm in a car, or in a bus, or in a plane, I just keep on worshipping him. I mean, those of you who have the opportunity of traveling a bit, you will know that each time you enter into a plane, until you land again, it is in your hand, oh God. Because number one, as soon as you get in, they ask you to fasten your belt. Two, they close the door. 3, they take off. And as the elders will say, there is no shortcut at the neck of a palm tree. If anything goes wrong up there, there's no question of saying, let us park by the roadside. And you can't jump out. Many of you know what I'm talking about. You see, if you find yourself there and all of a sudden you begin to hear bim, 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 and they switch on the light and they say, well, in case your bed is not properly fastened, fasten it properly now. I say, oh God, have mercy. And when everybody is panicking, I begin to worship him. I mean, was it last month? No, we are in November now. 2 months ago, we are coming from London to Nigeria here. We have been on for 2 hours. I was just dozing off, just about to sleep. When the pilot said, well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem. And that's British Airways, so not Nigeria Airways. We have a problem. And by then, of course, everybody became quiet immediately. And he said that one of the engine has packed up. Good. He says, so we have to go back to London. He said, I'm telling you this, we have to release the fuel. So if you see something flowing out of the back of the plane, it is the fuel that we are dropping off so that when we land. I've never seen people so quiet, Nigerians. For 2 hours, nobody said anything. All those who have been discussing politics, who have been talking about economy, about Naira and dollar, everybody was silent. And I just kept on worshiping God because I know if I worship him, he will be where I am. Do I hear amen to that? Yeah. And if I want all the hindrance to my prayers to be removed, if I don't want anything to stand between my prayers so that if I pray now, the answer will come immediately, I know what the Bible says I should do. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 14 to 15. Matthew 6, 14 to 15. He said, if I forgive my brother, then God will forgive me. He said, if I don't forgive those who offend me, then God will not forgive me. And that's a heavy one. Particularly as he now said in Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 2. He said, the hand of God is not shutting that he cannot save. Neither is he heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, that he will not hear. Why will God not hear prayers if there is sin? How do I get rid of sin? He said, I must forgive those who have offended me so that God will forgive me. He said, if I don't forgive others, then God will not forgive me. If God does not forgive me, then my sin remains. If my sin remains, my prayers will not be heard. That's why I don't allow anybody to hold me in bondage. You offend me, and the moment you see me, you will know you have offended me. Immediately, I will tell you, you have offended me. In fact, you will read my eyes and say, hey, I'm in trouble today. Which makes me different from you Lagos people. You Lagos people, you are very angry and you still be smiling. Hello, brother. How are you? It makes you very dangerous. In the village where I come from a long distance, soon as you see the fellow, you say, oh, there is trouble. At the moment I say you are forgiving, that's the end of the matter. And the reason I forgive you is not because of you, it's because of me. Because if I don't forgive you, God will not forgive me. If God does not forgive me, my prayers will not be answered. I'm not going to allow you to cheat me two ways. Number one, you have offended me. That's cheating number one. If I now refuse to forgive you, you will now rob me of answers to my prayers. That's cheating number two. That's why I look at some of the people who offend me and say, you're a stupid fellow, but I've forgiven you. That's the end of the story.
I am therefore always surprised when I see Christians who still talk about the offense that somebody offended them 3 years ago. That's why from the moment that fellow offended you till now, check how many of your prayers have been answered. Wisdom will teach you, if anybody offends you, forgive. Not for the benefit of the fellow, but for your own benefit. That's wisdom. Nobody ever gets angry unless he's offended. I know. I mean, you can't just wake up in the morning and then be angry with everybody without a reason. But you see, I learned something again. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. He says, anger rests in the bosom of fools. Anger rests where? In the bosom of fools. And then he went on to say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. Proverbs 3, verse 35. He said, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, another thing you should do in your Bible study is study everybody that the Bible calls fools. Try and look at their characteristics. One of the characteristics of a fool is he says there is no God. Anybody who says there is no God is a fool. And then he now says here, anyone who will allow anger to dwell in him is a fool. And then he says, what will happen to fools? Why wise men are inheriting glory, fools shall be inheriting shame. What will a wise man then do with this knowledge? Anytime anybody tries to annoy me, when I feel that anger rising, because it rises. When I see some people doing some extremely stupid things, the anger will rise. And what do? I remind myself immediately, Adeboye, you don't want to be a fool. You don't want to be a fool. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. That's why you find that again and again when people have done things that they think I'm going to break their heads upon, I just look at them and say, forget it. Why do I say forget it? I refuse to be a fool. How many of you will refuse from now on to be a fool? I refuse to be a fool. Anger and fools are associated. As a matter of fact, you know when people are talking, they say, I was mad. What does that word mean? I was angry. It means that an angry man is temporarily insane. He lost his head. That's what I mean. You fat people say, faith in Yoruba. So give me backbone now. In my head gets hot. When your head is hot, you can't think rationally. You can't. Everything you do when you are angry will not be done correctly. It cannot be done correctly. You know, when you are angry, suddenly you feel stronger than usual. And you think you can do anything. I've heard people say, I don't care if I die because of this. I am going to deal with it. You want to die? Because somebody stupid wanted to get you into trouble? Anger rests in the bosom of fools. And fools shall inherit shame. I therefore refuse not to be a fool. And you know what? When people try to make you angry and you refuse to be angry, they suffer. Who will suffer? Because they get frustrated. We've tried very hard to make him angry. He refused to be angry. They get frustrated. I don't have the time to tell you stories, but I remember very well. I was one of my daughters said, please help me talk to my father. I had known the father before when the father was a military governor somewhere. And now he said, probably will listen to you. about Jesus Christ.
So I went.
Oh, he just decided to be very insulting. You, look at you. PhD in mathematics. And you go about carrying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Walking about as if, and look at you. We know what you are doing. Do you think we don't know what you are doing? Raking in the money from poor women and students so that you can feed fat. We know the trick. You take, look at you. This is the way you're using your own mathematics. And then you think all the miracles they say they are happening. We know what you are doing. We know the forces you are using. We know the babalawos that you people visit. And he just went on and on and on. And I kept on smiling. When he finally got born again and he was giving his testimony, he said, if my gun had been here, I would have shot you that day. I said, why? He said, because the more I tried to make you angry, the more you laughed. He said, the laughter was killing me. And somebody shout hallelujah. Finally, because I want you to remember this sermon, so I want it to be short. Because the sermons that will change your life completely would not necessarily be very long. One day I was reading the Bible and I came across John 15 verse 16. John 15 verse 16. Jesus Christ said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Now that statement is completely true about me. Because I know I didn't choose Jesus Christ. He chose me. No elephant could have put a rope around my neck and dragged me into the Redeemed Christian Church of God if God himself had not used his own method. No way. Not when I got to the church and I saw the kind of building that they were using in those 1973 days. I was hoping that nobody would see my car parked there. But God brought me by force. Today I thank him for it. That whatsoever, how many things? That whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he might give it you. I said, wait a minute. What this passage is saying is, I have the key that will bring answer to my prayers anytime, anywhere, irrespective of whatsoever I ask for. What am I asked to do so that he will do this? Go, produce fruits, make sure the fruits will abide. Probably because I was trained as a mathematician, I know what that one means. If the angle of the triangle is right, if I square one side and I add it to the square of the other, it's going to be equal to the square of the hypotenuse, whether on the moon or at the bottom of the ocean. No doubt about that. If I satisfy the condition that God has stated here, without any doubt, he will meet all the prayers I pray to him without failing. What will wisdom do in that case? That's why you find that everywhere I go, I call people to salvation. I began from that day onward. Even places where nobody will expect me to be, you will find me there talking about Jesus Christ. It was after I read that passage that I began to go to the remand homes, to the old people's home in Yaba, to the prison in Kirikiri. Everywhere that some of you didn't know I've ever been, I've been there. Army barracks. I went there. When they allow me, I will preach. When they drag me out, no problem. But I'll come back again. Why? Because I want all my prayers answered.
And do you know the truth of the matter? Anytime I want to ask anything big, I just quote John 15:16 to God. Daddy, your word is forever settled, and it is written. I've not chosen you. You have chosen me and ordained me to go, bring forth fruit, make sure my fruit will remain. Is that right, O Lord? And I don't wait for the answer before I go on to say. And now, because you now say, if I do that, whatever I ask the Father in your name, he will give it to me. This is what I'm asking for now. And now I'm telling you, 100 times out of 100, the answer had come. I mean 100 times out of 100. Somebody was reminding me of an incident yesterday. I've even forgotten. He said he heard about it. I said, oh, it's true. Somebody invited me to come to America to come and preach in January. At a particular time when that area will be covered in snow. I said, God, you know I don't like cold. Do you want me to go? He said, yes, go. Okay, I will go. I will go there. I will win souls. I will do everything I can to counsel the people I have won so that they can remain. But, Daddy, during the period that I'll be there, 1 week, it must be summer. Because I don't like cold. That's why you made me in Nigeria. During the 1 week that I was there, we were wearing t-shirts. The day after I left, 4 inches of snow fell in 1 day. So they asked me what happened. I said, my father just pushed the snow aside. I said, wait, oh. After my son is gone, you can come back. How many of you want all your prayers answered? Let's stand on our feet. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. The Bible says, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. These are informations. If you are wise, and you are here this morning, and you are not born again, what you should do is come to Jesus Christ, fall at his feet, and say, save my soul. I don't want to go to hell. If you are foolish, stay there. Pretend that you don't know what God is saying. His word is forever settled. So if you are here and you are not born again, you come to the altar. Those of us who are already born again, and we know it, the prayer this morning is not the kind of prayer you pray and shout. It's a prayer you have to look inwards. What has been hindering my prayers? Who offended me that I've not forgiven? And then make up your mind. Lord, not only will I forgive this fellow, as soon as I leave, I'm going to go and see the fellow and tell him or her, it's over. They're not going to allow you to hinder my prayers anymore. Then, those of us who have not been winning souls and have been going about pretending that we are winning souls, we will go out and begin to talk to those people and begin to bring them to Christ. And then, will they be able to look to God and say, I'm doing what you asked me to do. Now, do what I ask you to do. Now, finally, the only prayer you are going to pray is, the word of God says, if any man lack wisdom, it should ask from God. So you look to him and say, Father, I need your wisdom. Give me wisdom today. Shall we pray? If you want to give your life to Jesus, come now. The Almighty God says, if you come to him, he will receive you. It doesn't matter what you have done. So if you are not born again and you want to give your life to Jesus, come and join those who are already in the front. And come and call on the Almighty God for the salvation of your soul. Call on him. Father, I need wisdom. I don't have as much wisdom as I should. Lord, give me wisdom this morning. Everyone that offended me, give me the grace to forgive completely, absolutely. Father, the grace to witness, the grace to win souls, the grace to make souls abide, give unto me, so that from now on, anything I ask, I may get. Father, give me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom. Those of you who want to give your life to Jesus, I come and join those who are already in front. Hurry up. Time is going. Tomorrow may be too late.
You only know today. Only God knows tomorrow. Come, this is the day of salvation. Come and join those who are already in the front. Come and surrender your life to Him. And those of you already in front, call on Him and say, save my soul. Oh Lord, have mercy on me.